on Psalm 29 says, ascribe to the Lord, and the word scribe, it means to give. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. The word glory is majesty and honor and reverence and respect. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory that's due his name. Worship him in the Holy of Holies. Church, what's it look like to come to a place today? Say, God, you deserve my highest praise. Me personally, you are great, and your spirit dwells within me. And I will not let circumstance rob me of my joy. I will not allow people to rob me of my joy. I know who you are, and I know that I am saved, and I know that I am born again, and I know that you are for me, and I know that you are toward me, and I know who you are, and you deserve the highest praise. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And church, we come to a place today, no matter how you walked into this building, no matter what you carried into this building, we walk in a place to be reminded this morning again in worship, to be reminded this morning again in communion that I am saved and I am forgiven and I am free. And it was God by his amazing love for me. I don't deserve it. I can't earn it. Every single person who's ever walked the face of the planet all swim in the same pond of sin. We are equal in our sin, and we are equal in our separation from God. Had it not been for the cross, had it not been for the work of Jesus, his son, that is in perfection, put himself on a cross for you and I. Not one who's ever had breath would have a chance, but it was by God's love for you and for me that he drove his son to a cross, put nails in his hands and his feet, that you and I would know him on a personal level, that we could worship him, and that we could celebrate him, and we can be amazed by him, and we can declare great is the Lord, and he is greatly to be praised, and he does deserve the highest praise. Come on, BC, give him a shout this morning. Amen. Come on. Yes. So good. Father, we're amazed by you. We love you, and we thank you. We celebrate you in Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Come on, you may have a seat. We're going to have a time of communion, and then we're going to go back in and close with a song. And I want us to take time in communion, and I want us to walk in this place to be reminded of the great love that God has for you and I, the great love that it took Jesus to love you with an endless love, a love that cannot be changed. I love this. It's an unchanging love. Isn't it amazing that he doesn't love on the basis of how you have been loved by mankind or by how you've been loved by humans? It's an unchanging love. And I want you to get this right off the top. Listen, please hear me. He can't love you anymore. And he can't love you any less. When you have a God whose love is unconditional, when you have a God whose love has been demonstrated that yet while we were still in sin, still sinners, Christ died for us. It was a demonstration of love for you and I. Please hear me. I think we need to get this morning in communion that you cannot out-sin his love for you. You cannot out-sin his love for you. He loves you. Because of our sin, Jesus had to come. Can I ask you a question, man? Do you know Christ as Lord and Savior? Truly, have you come to this place to repent from sin? Listen, sin is in the heart of man. There's not one person on this planet that's ever lived that thinks they've walked perfect minus Jesus Christ himself. Not one. Why? Because it's in our heart. The Bible says very clearly there won't be one person who's ever lived that will stand before the throne and give an excuse that's acceptable to not know Jesus. Not one. There are no excuses. We know we're sinful creatures, but it's amazing by the power of the blood. Do you understand that the work of the cross, that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, died for our sin? And in that we rest, and in that there is peace. Colossians 1:20 says there is peace that comes through the blood, that we have been reconciled. Man, we went from enemy to friend by the very work of the cross, that there is peace within my spirit because it comes, because it's a part of the blood package, man. And you understand what that looks like for you. Do you know Christ as Savior and Lord? Not based off religion, not you being a good person. That boat don't float. And we know that. Not because you attend Believer's Chapel, not because of your tithing record or your giving, not because you walk the old lady across the street in kindness. No, because I'm a sinner who needs saved. And the precious blood of Jesus, that is without spot and blemish, was shed on a cross for me. And that blood can never lose its power. It's never weaker than that moment that it was shed. And in that amazing sacrifice, you and I have life eternal. Do you know Christ as Lord and Savior? Have you come to this place to repent and change your mind to sin? Have you come to this place to truly believe in Jesus and Jesus alone? Jesus himself said, I'm the door. I'm in. Nobody comes into the pasture except through me. You can't go over it. You can't go around it. You can't go under it. You got to go through me. Jesus Christ is the doorkeeper, and it is only through him. You walk in this place to confess that he is Lord, that we take a knee before him to say, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. And I love this. Again, to remind us, when Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, that word remember means to take me back to that place. Why we celebrate the way we celebrate, why we do strongly proclaim that he is worthy. He is worthy of our highest praise. He is worthy because he took a sinner like me and has washed me in the blood of the Lamb. There is a day that I will stand before the throne blameless and innocent. I don't deserve that. I've earned death, and I know that death has no victory over this soul. This body will go in the dirt one day unless Jesus returns for me. But my soul will go on to eternity because of the very work of Christ. And I love in Micah 7, Micah's an amazing, amazing short book by a major prophet, Micah. The first half of the book is about God's judgment on sin. And the second half of the book is about God's reconciliation to man. That I have been reconciled. That I have been bought back with a price to be redeemed. And this is what God speaks to the prophet Micah. He says this: who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious acts of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights, watch this, he delights, he has joy in unchanging love. And I hope that can resonate with you today. That no matter where you're at, there's not one person that's better than the next in this group. There's not one person that walks on water in this group. There's not one person that claims perfection. But we all can come to this place to say, I can make a claim to his unchanging love. I can make a claim that God has loved me and he's never changed his mind. That's powerful. No matter where you're at today, I want you to know he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He takes delight. He takes great joy in his unchanging love for you. Wait, you mean, yeah, he loves you. Yeah, well, what about, yeah, he loves you. Well, what about, yeah, he loves you. Are you his child? Have you come to this place to repent? Do you belong to him? I can boldly say, I am his. I belong to Him. I am saved by the grace of God. Man, I've repented from my sin. His blood, I get it. The sacrifice for me, God's wrath on Him, so it never has to be on me. I get it. And that's why we worship and celebrate the way we do here on a Sunday morning in your living room or in your car on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday. That's why we live a life of obedience, because we're amazed that He took delight in an unchanging love for me and for you. Come on, church, give them praise. Amen. Here we go. Oh, we're warming up now. Let's go. And again, I love this. He will again. Everybody say again. I think we need this today. Come on, one more time. Everybody say again. And He will again have compassion. His mercy. He will again have compassion on us. And He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, watch this. Yes, you will cast, you will throw all, everybody say all, their sins in the depths of the sea. And again, God has compassion on us. And Micah is amazing, because in Micah 5, it begins to change this tune, and it now, Micah 5, 6, and 7, it actually becomes about Jesus. It's the clearest picture of where the king will be born in Micah 5. And that He is the one who brings peace. So this judgment in the first half turns into salvation in the second half, and it points everything right to Jesus. So we see in Micah 7 that it's talking about Christ on a cross in an unchanging love, and He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities, our sins underfoot, and yes, He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Can I just say that today's the day that we come to a place to truly be stunned and amazed at the powerful blood of Christ for you and I who know Him, to say, my sins have been cast in the depth of the sea. If He's not going fishing for them, why am I? God didn't get out His supernatural fishing pole to go into the depths of the sea to pull back your sin. Hey, Sean, do you remember? Hey, I went fishing, and look what I caught. But church, how many times do we do that? Or how many times do we do that for someone else? I'm going fishing for your sins. Hey, dude, you remember when? We need to put your sin-catching fishing poles aside and honestly come to a place to believe Micah 7, and it's referencing me and you, that He takes delight. It is His joy in unchanging love to never go fishing for your sins, because they are covered under the blood. Do you get it? Do you get it? Do you get it? Isaiah 53. It says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us, watch this, each of us, all inclusive, have turned to His own way. But the Lord, I love this, has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Jesus. Do you know what took place for you at the cross? Can I encourage you, please, in your spirit, to begin to act like it? To begin to respond like it? Begin to serve like it? Begin to obey like it? Begin to worship like it? Begin to praise like it, when you know all my sin has been cast on His Son. All my iniquities, past, present, and future, dealt with by the precious blood of Jesus. And as Jesus hung on that cross, where His body was just physically destroyed, where you see a gruesome, bloody sight of one who could not be recognized as a human being, because he was so physically destroyed. Tears through his skin. They say bone at time could be exposed. Were you just seeing where Jesus took the hits? Jesus took the shredding. And the Bible says that he was silent. As a lamb goes to the slaughter. Amazing, the Bible calls it a slaughter. That Jesus Christ, who was innocent and perfect, had to be slaughtered like a lamb for the sacrifice for my sin. Because my God and my Father has an unchanging love for me. And Isaiah 53:10 says this, for it pleased the Lord to crush his own son. Church, how do you swallow that? For it brought God delight. That's what pleased means. He was glad to do it. It brought him delight. New American Standard says that he crushed physically, crushed his son. Because through that action, many would be saved. Are you a part of the many? And are you amazed that God looked at you in your filth, and he looked at me in my filth, and he looked at me in my sin, and says, Sean, I have a delight in me of an unchanging love for you, and I am putting my son on a cross, and he will be crushed, and that is my delight. That pleases me because I love you, because I'm pursuing you. For by grace you have been saved, and there is such power in the blood that we today can say, I am saved, I am safe, I am forgiven, and I am free, and I will not lessen the blood over me. I will not lessen the blood over me. Church, what happens when you come to this place? To truly know what it means. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy. For he is worthy. And he was slain for you and I. For God so loved the world that he gave. The whole he gave is the whole work of the cross. That slaughter is that he gave. We just skim right past it. He gave. He slaughtered his own son, and it pleased him to crush him. On behalf of my sin, that I am a part of the many, that my sins have been paid for, and I get it. I've received it. I believe it. And I'm amazed by it, because I don't deserve it, and he is worthy. He is worthy to be praised, for great is the Lord. And greatly to be praised. If you could open up your cups, please. Man, if you would come to this place. Man, if you know Christ as Lord and Savior, I encourage you to take part. Man, if you don't know Jesus, just in this moment, walk out of this place saved. Man, walk out of this place different today. Walk out of this place with an acknowledgement of who Jesus Christ is and what he did for you, that he loves you. In your messed up self, he loves you. In your messed up world, he loves you. Guess what? Welcome to the team. We're all messed up. But he loves you. I'm praying that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened today, that you would have a tender spirit today, that you would say, man, this is my day. This is the day of my salvation. I come to a place to know him as Lord and Savior. Man, bow your heads just for a minute. You come to this place, man, if you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, I'm begging you today, make the decision. Come on, make the decision. God loves you. How can he love me? Because it's an unchanging love. He knows your mess. He knows your sin. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I love it. Again, his compassion is towards you. Come on, get it. Come to a place to confess that Jesus is Lord. In this moment, just simply in your spirit, say, God, hear me, please. You're here. Hear me. Forgive me. I get it. I'm a sinner and I'm separate from you. I turn from my wicked ways. I turn from my sin. I acknowledge sin and I repent. And in this moment, my eyes and my heart and my spirit have been opened to say, Jesus, you're it. You're the only way. I believe in you. I trust you, Jesus. And I confess that you are Lord. Come on, church, if you could look at me on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Go ahead, please. In the same way, he took the cup, said, this is a new covenant in my blood. This is a new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink this, and I love that today is a reminder of his great compassion. Today is a reminder that he knows your sin and he loves you. Today is a reminder that you have been forgiven. Today is a reminder that God has not taken his fishing pole and dredging up your sin. It has been covered by the precious blood of the Lamb, and it will never lose its power. He says this as often, that means now, right now, as often as you do this, as often as you drink this, remember me. Go ahead, please. Man, if you would just stand to your feet, please. Don't lose this moment, church. I want you to worship and I want you to praise. I want us to walk in his place today to just acknowledge the amazing work of the cross, that it is mighty. And I am reminded that my sin has been forgiven. And the blood that was shed on that cross 2,000 years ago is as powerful it was in that moment as it is for all eternity. That my sin has been covered. And that sacrifice was good. And we stand in awe of him. Come on, let's worship like you mean it. Come on, church. We love you in Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Amen. Come on, you may have a seat. Hey, that's just a bit of a pregame for our time of seek tonight, man. Don't miss it. It really is going to be. It's going to be powerful. I'm going to have you could turn to. Oh, there's just so much I want to speak on in limited time, but when we do communion, we don't mess around with communion. It's not just a bunt, you know. We don't bunt at communion. Come on, let's turn to where I want to go. Let's go to Psalm 100 first, and we'll see how far we get. I want to be in Psalm 100. I want to be in Psalm 150. I want to be in Psalm 149. I want to be in Psalm 33. I want to be in Psalm 34. And you're like, no chance of that happening. Probably not. But that's okay. Jesus ain't come yet, so we got all the time until he returns. But I do want to read something to you, and it's found in Revelation chapter 5. And I want you to see this, because it says this. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain. This is speaking Jesus. For you were slain and purchased with God for your blood men from every tribe, tongue, and the people and nations. For you have made them to be a kingdom and the priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. And then I looked, this is John speaking, he saw this image of what's taking place in heaven. He says this, then I looked and I heard the voice, watch this, the voice of many angels around the throne and living creatures and elders, and the number of them was 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands times thousands. That just simply means a countless number. 10,000 times 10,000 times 1,000 times 1,000. Some versions will say millions times 10,000s times thousands times. It's a number that you can't reach. It's a countless number, and I want you to see this. Watch this. Watch this. 10,000s times 10,000s times thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice. If anyone, please hear me. If anyone thought that heaven was going to be quiet, ho! If you, I ain't going to pick on Baptists too much, but if you think Baptist is going to be that silent little, I'm sorry, sir, that's, you need to tone it down a little bit. This is 10,000 times 10,000 times thousands and thousands of living creatures and angels and elders. And what are they doing? They are screaming with a loud voice. Could you imagine the atmosphere around the throne in celebration of Jesus Christ, who was slain and purchased me and purchased you with his blood? He comes to this place to see this celebration around the throne, and with a loud voice. You know what a loud voice means? It means a loud voice times that which is countless. Could you imagine how loud? Man, it gets a bit loud in here even during Seek. That's our juiced up time of worship, and it gets loud in here. Man, could you imagine a countless number screaming with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And then I heard, look, watch this, every created thing, every created thing, church, that's me and that's you, that's in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And they fell down on their face and they began to worship him. Church, if you think that our celebration is loud here, you should bring your earplugs and your earmuffs to heaven, because it's going to get juiced thousands times 10,000s times 10,000s times 10,000s than what we celebrate here. And I could imagine the drum set in heaven. Could you imagine that? It's probably just going to be thunder. It's probably just going to be this amazing roaring thunder that is in sync with the instruments. How powerful. That's just my hope anyways. Church, this is why we do a worship series and it's entitled, He is Worthy. This is why you see the word hallelujah, and that means to celebrate, to boast and to brag. This is why we do what we do here at Believer's Chapel. And I'm hoping that in this series that you've come to this place. Maybe there has been this little turn in your spirit to get a picture of what God says about praise and worship. A biblical perspective, not your perspective, not my perspective, not a denomination perspective, but God's perspective. How about we stick with that? I want you to see this in Psalm 100. I love this. Psalm 100 says this, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth." What happens when you come to this place that you give this shout of praise? And for me personally, man, it does something here. It does something in my spirit. If there is a struggle within me, if there is something going on and I get before the Lord and I come into the Holy of Holies, I come into that place of being in his presence and I'm just shouting joyfully to him, it seems to do something within my personal spirit, that there is a shift that takes place of my attention and there is a release in a loud shout. Not when you're shouting at each other. Don't release it that way. Right? In a sense of shouting joyfully to the Lord, there is a release that takes place. And I'm speaking for me personally. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. But we are the people and the sheep of his pasture. What is it? In Psalms 100, that it says we belong to him. That we belong to him. We are the sheep of his pasture. We belong to him. Again, verse 3, know that the Lord himself is God, that it is he who made us, and we not ourselves. Like, you had nothing to do with you being here. God had everything to do, to say, I've got a purpose and I've got a plan for you. It is God who fearfully, wonderfully made you in your mother's womb. It is God who knew you from the very beginning of time, that you would be born and you would be a part of this society today. He knew all things, that in this particular moment, in this particular time in history, that you needed to be here to bring in this place to understand who our God is, to serve him in this moment. Isn't that amazing? That from the beginning of time, God said, Sean Obergefell, this is when you shall serve. And you had nothing to do with it, Sean. Church, when you start seeing the magnificence and truly just how great our God is, that he is the powerful, all-powerful God who creates. It's amazing to understand this. And then verse 4 says this: enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness, I love it, his faithfulness, his loyalty is to all generations. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. I want to break this down a little bit. There's several words here that kind of define that sense of praise and that sense of worship. There's a few words here that define what we do even corporately and what we do even at home, or what you do in your car, or what you do with your family in your time of worship and your time of devotion. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. And this word thanksgiving is a word of praise, and it's todah. And this just simply means that there is this choir of worshipers. Do you realize that we have our worship team, but guess who the choir is? Me and you. Yeah, but Sean, we don't sing. Listen, when everyone sings together, nobody knows. It's awesome. I sit in the front row, only Brendan hears me. And he says, Sean, you have an amazing voice. Sean, you should be on the worship team. That's what he says to me all the time when I'm singing my heart out in the front row. B-Man is like, Sean, I think you should come sing on stage. Man, I think Olivia got her voice from you. It's incredible. It's amazing to me. And I'm like, Brendan, listen, I need to focus, man. Know your place and own your space. I live by that. Know your place and own your space. Even though I could, I can't, because God has me preaching. Stop asking, Brendan. So he hasn't asked in a very long time. It's amazing. He's an amazing listener, right? It's incredible. But you and I, church, are the choir of worshipers. And when you understand what that looks like, to enter his gates with thanksgiving, with a todah praise, with a choir of worshipers, and enter his courts with praise. And this is the word Tehillah, and it means to sing songs. Isn't it amazing that it just simply means to sing songs that say thank you? To sing songs of thanksgiving. That's what Tehillah means. So here there's got to be this choir of worshipers, and then there's songs, hand-picked select songs, even new songs, that are walking in this place as we sing them, as we walk in that Tehillah praise. There is that sense of we are singing songs that are just focused on giving him thanksgiving. And then you walk in a place, watch this. It says this: give thanks to him. The word give thanks is yada. You've heard this quite a bit through this series. And again, we've talked about our posture. We've talked about what it was to kneel and bow, what it talks to lay out, what it means to raise our hands, what it means to shout joyfully. I think we've covered that. What it means to walk in this place of a yada praise. And most of the time when you see give thanks, it literally means to throw up, in that sense of throwing your hands up in a place of extended hands to say thank you. And I told you my story last week, great story, and just what it really took for me to understand this, and what it took for me to have that release, to be able to raise my hands and say thank you with a posture that is a posture truly of just surrender. And you walk in that place to say, God, I want everything about me. I want my heart to say thank you. I want my mind to be focused on you. Worship has a lot to do with focus. You can come in so distracted, and if you don't remove that distraction in your time of worship, it will get your mind to wander, and you will miss what it really looks like to enter into that place of worship. So I want my posture to be one that is a place of a yada praise, that I want to be able to raise my hands and to throw them up and to extend them to you to say thank you. Again, when you look at worship, it's just us expressing our love based off of the relationship that we have in him. It is my expression because I love him. My expression because I'm in relationship with him. And I walk in this expression. How is it that you express yourself in love to your spouse, to your children, to your parents? Do you express your love? Do you walk in his place and say, Jesus, I love you. I'm amazed by you. I thank you. I want my words. I want my heart. I want my mind. I want my posture to reflect the relationship that I have with you, just to say thank you and that I love you. This isn't like the marriage that says, listen, honey, I told you I loved you on the day I married you, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. Like, that's not this. If you have a marriage like that, fix it. It should be daily. You should express your love daily. I think, never mind what I think. But church, do you express your love to the Lord? Does your posture matter? Do you come to this place to say, God, I got to focus on you and worship? I don't want to rob you of worship. I don't want to take that as rightfully deserving to you and not give it. How is that even possible when you are truly a born-again believer in Christ, when you truly understand the very work of the cross, when you know that you have been giving salvation that you absolutely don't deserve and you never earned it, but yet he gave it to you because he has this unchanging love for you? How do you not respond to that? Are you kidding me? Does something to the relationship. Give thanks to him and bless his name. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in his name. There's authority in his name. And what is it that you come to this place to bless? And it is the word Barak, and it means to walk in this place of adoration. I want to adore you. I want to bless you. Why? Because the Lord is good. Maybe you find yourself in a circumstance and you actually want your circumstance to dictate God's goodness. Well, if God is good, how come? Well, if God is good, if I'm just supposed to worship him and praise him through all my problems, how do I know that he's really good when I'm going through hell here on earth? Listen, had God do nothing else for you but save your soul, he's good. If God does nothing else for you but come to this place to put his son on a cross for my sin, that he has given me eternal life, then he is good. And he walks in this place, church, to say, God, despite my circumstance, you are good. I am saved. And I am safe, and I am forgiven, and there is a peace that I can tap into. There is a joy that can overflow. I will not allow anything or anyone, circumstance or people, to affect my spirit, to affect my peace, to affect my joy. I will walk in his place where I will not be afraid. You can't touch me. How about that, to say, God, you are good? The psalmist just simply says, I want to bless him. I want to worship him. I want to sing. And I want to shout. And I want to put my posture towards you. Because this is what I know. I know that you are good. And your loving kindness is everlasting. His faithfulness, he is loyal. It is to all generations. Church, what happens when you come to this place to begin to say, why do I worship? Why is worship due his name? Why am I called to bring him glory? Why am I called to bless his name? Why am I called to posture myself before him? You see it in Deuteronomy. You see it throughout Scripture. You see it in the New Testament, where the greatest commandment is simply this: to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. 3 out of 4 of those are internal. there's something in my spirit that drives me to want to worship him and be amazed at him and stand in awe of him, because he is great and he is greatly to be praised, and he deserves my worship and my praise. Not, watch this, please hear me, not because I have to, but because it is my desire to express my love to him, because his expression of love to me was Jesus Christ on a cross for me. It's not complicated, church. It's not confusing. It's actually quite simple. Well, Sean, that's just not my personality. I'm sorry, I don't see that here. I love that excuse. That's an amazing excuse, isn't it? I just want to cover Psalm 33 and 34, and then we'll close. Psalm 33 says this, and I want you to get this. I want you to hear this, please. Psalm 33:1 is quite telling. But you know, when you put a glove on your hand, right, it just fits. It belongs there. If you're goofy and you try to put a glove on your foot, it doesn't work. It doesn't fit. Psalm 33:1 says this: sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous one, for praise, watch this, praise, that is that tehillah praise, that is that songs of thanksgiving, that praise, it is becoming for the upright. The word becoming, it means that it fits. It befits the upright, for the believer, for you and I. Praise, it fits. Praise, it is something that we are called to do. We are called to express our adoration and our love to the Lord. Why? Because it fits like a glove. It belongs to us. It's becoming to us. It's like the glove that fits on the hand. It just makes sense. For the believer, please hear me, it makes sense. It's not complicated. It's not confusing. You walk in this place to say, in the picture that I know of who Christ is and know my God and my Savior, that I have been redeemed and bought back. I have this picture of the cross in my mind. I'm amazed at Jesus, and it just fits that I would worship him, that I would sing songs of thanksgiving, that I would posture myself before him. Watch this. Verse 6 says this: by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. I love that. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. And by the breath of his mouth, poof, there are stars without number, because God breathed. Church, is anything too difficult for the Lord? The heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the stars are telling of the work of his hands. Psalm 19:1. When you begin to see that the heavens, that which he created above, are truly telling of his majesty and his excellence and his power and his authority and his might. And you can just look and you can see the heavens are screaming of his glory. And the stars are telling of the work of his hand. And the work of his hand, when you see that in scripture, it means his ability. His ability. His might. What he's able to do. When you really understand what it took for God to create the sun, the moon, and the stars, what it took for God to put stars that we could never get to the end of the universe, God just, poof. And if they're telling the work of his hands, how much more you and I, his greatest creation was mankind. There's nothing else made in his image, in his likeness. It's you and it's me. much more, church, should you and I, His greatest creation. Jesus did not come to save the trees. Jesus did not come to save the fish. Jesus certainly didn't come to save the cats. Maybe lions. Lions are a big cat. We're really cool. Little cats that kill mice. They can kill all the mice they want. But Jesus didn't come for the cats. Who did Jesus come for? Church, it's not complicated. We are called to give Him a proper praise. We are called to see the majesty of God. I walk in His place to be amazed. To walk in His place to be amazed. Last verses and we go. We come back tonight and do it again. Psalm 34, 1 says this, "For I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul, the love of the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength." It needs to come from a redeemed soul. It needs to come from the inside out. My soul will make its boast in the Lord, and the humble will hear it and rejoice. So magnify, I love this, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Let us exalt His name together. There's something about corporate worship. There's something about exalting His name together. Could you put Psalm 111:1 up, please? I want you to see this. Psalm 111:1. "Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength." Can we get it? Can we get it? Look at, "I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart." What, where? In the company of the upright and in the assembly. In the company. That's the gathering of us, the upright, who get it. We get it. And what? In the assembly. Assembly literally means the congregation. We are the congregation of the sliver called Believer's Chapel. But in this house, we will worship. And in this house, we will exalt Him together. In this house, we will gather as the company of the upright. And in the assembly, what will we do? We will praise the Lord and we will give thanks. The word praise is halal. That is that celebration. We will give thanks with extended hands. This is who we are. Why? Because in the assembly, that is the congregation. This is corporate worship. This is why we do what we do. It's not for a show. It's not for us. It's not for me. It's not for you. It's just to put the very one in the spotlight that He rightfully deserves to be. To give Him the honor and the praise that He rightfully deserves. It's not complicated, church. It's not confusing. It makes sense because it's fitting for the believer. Back to Psalm 34, it says this, "Magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt His name together. For I sought the Lord," I love this, "and He answered me, and He delivered me from all my fears." There is something that takes place in His presence that you get your attention off of you and you get your attention off of all that's going on. You get your attention off of the fears of this world and you put it on the Creator of the heavens and the earth. You put it on the one who says, "In my spirit there will be peace and in my soul there will be joy, and I will walk in His place, that I will magnify the Lord. I will praise Him through my problems. I will worship Him through my worries. And in that I know that He hears me and that He delivers me." What's it mean to be delivered? What's it mean to be rescued? He delivers me from what? All my fears. What an amazing place to be. But in an incredible, that which surrounds all of that is our focus on Him. You choose. Go ahead, spend all your time focusing on the negative. Spend all your time focusing on what's taking place in the world today. Spend all your time focused on all of that. And let fear and worry just fill you. Or don't do that, because you don't have to. You choose. I'm going to magnify the Lord. I'm putting my attention and my focus on Him. And I know that He is in charge of all things. He is sovereign and He reigns. And in that brings me great peace and great joy. And in that I know that He will deliver me from all my fears. Come on, just bow your heads. We'll pray. And I hope to see you tonight. Seek is going to be amazing. And we're going to have a release tonight. We're going to move chairs tonight and we're going to open up for prayer for tonight. And I really feel that there's going to be just a true release tonight at Seek. Because it's crazy and crazier that it gets out there. If you let that stick to your ribs, if you let that stick to your spirit, we need a release from that. And I'm so excited for Seek tonight. I'm excited to be able to move some chairs and have an area where we can pray for people. People need prayer. People need prayer. We're going to pray tonight. And we're going to worship God in the middle of our worship series. And I am expecting an eruption tonight. Just as there is in heaven currently, there is an eruption taking place around the throne. Church, I want an eruption tonight for the glory of our God. Lord, we love You. We are amazed by You. Just an amazing day in Your presence. We thank You for the cross. We thank You for forgiveness. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for an unchanging love. We stand in awe of You, Lord. We stand in awe of You. We walk in this place to have a true, healthy reverence of You, a fear of You. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen.